You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves have their last game of the first half of this year's NBA schedule against the Charlotte Hornets this evening before the All-Star break. Today's show, we will finish by previewing Wolves Charlotte. And then leading into that, I want to talk a little bit about the year that LaMelo Ball's had so far. I did this a couple weeks ago when the Wolves and Hornets played, I guess almost 3 weeks ago now. I want to revisit it a little bit. Ball's only really gotten better over the past 3 weeks. Edwards has certainly had, you know, since then he had his dunk heard around the world, which is, I maintain, one of the best dunks in the past, I don't know, 20 plus years in the NBA, certainly top five in that span of time. So that's happened since then. He's had a couple of really nice games. He's also really struggled from the field since the last time these two teams played each other. So I want to talk about their respective seasons so far. Edwards and Ball, the top two picks, or excuse me, the number one and number three picks in this year's draft. James Wiseman, of course, was picked in between. And then also I want to talk a little bit about B-Ball Index, which it's been a while since we've talked about B-Ball Index on the show, but it's a great site that has their own proprietary metrics as well as a really good compilation tool of a variety of different metrics from around the blogosphere and some different sources and a lot of data on play types and things of that nature. So I want to really highlight Towns and then also, again, the Ball and the Edwards comparison at this point in the season. Some of it is stuff we've already talked about on the show, but some of it's confirmation of things we've talked about. So just kind of peeking in on what Towns has done well, what Edwards has done well, what LaMelo Ball has done well. I think it's a good time to kind of compare those two players with the final Wolves-Hornets matchup of the season coming up Wednesday night. And then, as mentioned, we'll finish by previewing the matchup as a whole between the Wolves and the Hornets. Off the top, I have a couple of quick notes we'll get to in just a second here. First, though, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. Of course, that includes iTunes as well as Google Podcasts, Stitcher. You can follow on Spotify. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves or at B Beacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C K E N. Okay. A couple notes off the top. First of all, Anthony Edwards turned down the NBA slam dunk contest this year. And perhaps that really shouldn't be a surprise. He wasn't going to go for any other reason. There's not a Rising Stars game this year. Part of me wonders if there was a Rising Stars challenge game happening and this were a regular All-Star weekend. I'm pretty sure Edwards would be competing, but the fact that he's not traveling to, I guess, the All-Star kind of pseudo bubble for any other reason, he may as well take the time off and do whatever he's got to do, see his family, stuff he hasn't been able to do over the first part of the season with no Rising Stars game. And he's obviously not an All-Star. So why go down for that slam dunk competition? And as it turns out, the slam dunk competition will once again be really void of stars. Obi Toppin is the headliner, and he, of course, was this year's, what was he, the Knicks pick, so he was like 7 or 8 in the first round. And then also Anfernee Simons and Cassius Stanley, a second-round rookie, on a two-way contract, actually. So it's not exactly a star-studded contest. The three-point competition is a lot more attractive. Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Jason Tatum. The skills challenge even is a little bit really star-studded. There's some all-stars in there. Luka Doncic, obviously the headliner there. Nikola Vucevic, Domantas Sabonis, Julius Randle, Chris Paul, Robert Covington. So there's a little bit of a former Timberwolves flavor there to these competitions, not the dunk competition this year, because LaVine, of course, also turned it down, but LaVine in the 3-point contest and Covington in the skills challenge. So those will actually be fun. The slam dunk contest, which will happen at halftime, is Simon, Stanley, and Toppin. Not exactly the names the NBA was hoping for. There's also a report that Zion Williamson turned the NBA down to compete in the dunk contest. Also not a surprise, but interesting that he was invited. Of course, he does, as mentioned, had the dunk of the year. It's also in Atlanta where, he obviously played at the University of Georgia and was, is a native of Georgia as well. So it would have made a ton of sense. And I'm sure the NBA would have been ecstatic to be able to talk up the Edwards storyline. But they don't get to do that. Edwards turns down the invitation and will not be there. The other note was just from post-practice media availability, Chris Finch talked about how the Wolves offense would be changing. They would have a new, he called it an identity following the All-Star break, not just offensively, but also defensively. We'll see how much he's able to install. I'm not sure how much they'll practice over the All-Star break. I mean, they've got 8 days off. My guess is that they'll probably have some sort of a, you know, 2, 3, 4 days off here leading into the weekend, and then come back pretty quick next week and have a couple of practices Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Wednesday, something like that, leading into their game next Thursday, the 11th. So plenty of time off, but also some practice time. And they're already starting the install for some of the new offense and defense in practice prior to this week's game against Charlotte. So we'll see if Wednesday, if anything's different now with a couple more days of practice. They've had two-day breaks recently after having played a bunch of games consecutively almost in Chris Finch's first week on the job. We'll see if there's a little bit more that changes Wednesday if he's going to hold off to install a lot of that stuff in actual game action until after the All-Star break. But just know that it's coming. He's acknowledging that it's coming, and it'll be a sight for sore eyes, for sore Timberwolves fans' eyes, to see some different things offensively with this team. Of course, no Malik Beasley or D'Angelo Russell right after the All-Star break either, so not a lot will change on the personnel front, at least not in the immediate future. Okay, next what I want to do is I want to compare the LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards season so far, spend a little bit of time on that, and then roll into those B-ball index numbers that I promised and talk about what B-ball indexes numbers say about both Ball and Edwards before finishing by talking about Karl-Anthony Towns in the same vein, looking at the B-ball index numbers and what the story that they tell about Towns' season to this point. And then we'll finish the show today by talking about Wolves Hornets. So all that's coming up next. Before we do all that, though, let's talk about our friends at CBDMD. March is National Sleep Month, and as the official CBD of A Good Night's Sleep, our good friends at CBDMD want to help you celebrate the right way. They've got dozens of options to help you relax, recharge, and enhance your nighttime routine, and there's nothing more calming than a nice hot bath. CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience. Choose from lavender or eucalyptus scents or a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. Well, CBD bath bombs provide a refreshing, relaxing bath experience by combining 100 milligrams of CBD with essential oils, Epsom salt, and calming natural scents to help you soak away the day. And to make it even easier for you to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, two top teams in the NBA's Western Conference battle it out before the All-Star break. Will the Suns and Lakers meet again in the Western Conference Finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk about the Ball-Edwards comparison to this point in the rookie seasons. They've each played almost exactly half of what this season is, not quite half of an actual full NBA season. So, of course, all the caveats apply about this being painfully early to really evaluate either player. That said, we have to go off of what we have. And so far, that's 34 games for LaMelo Ball, 35 games for Anthony Edwards. And they've each played in the neighborhood of 1,000 minutes. Ball's slightly under 1,000. Edwards is slightly over. So, we've got something to work off of. And even if you just look at the counting stats, Ball's very clearly had a better season. He's averaging about a point per game more, the same number of blocks, twice as many steals per game, more than twice as many assists per game, 50% more rebounds, 6 rebounds to 4 rebounds per game in favor of Ball. Shooting splits, Ball's almost at 45% from the field, while Edwards is just over 37%. Ball's shooting almost 37% on threes. He's above league average, 36.7% on more than 5 attempts per game. Of course, one of the pre-draft knocks on Ball was whether or not he'd be able to shoot at the NBA level. Edwards is only at 31.2% from beyond the arc. They're both good free throw shooters, but Ball gets the line more often. So across the board, counting stats, kind of the traditional numbers, Ball's been better. You look at the advanced metrics, it's also not close. They both have massive usage rates, but Ball's assist rate, of course, is almost three times as high as Anthony Edwards. His rebound rate is better on both ends of the floor. He's been a better defender. He's primarily guarded twos, whereas Edwards has had to guard both twos and threes to this point, which is to his detriment because the Hornets have basically done a pretty good job of hiding Ball where they need to. You know, there's enough teams that don't have twos and threes that create a ton of offense in this league right now. And so you put his length and athleticism on players that aren't as likely to try and beat you off the dribble. And the Hornets have been able to at least make Ball a playable team defender. Whereas Edwards hasn't had much of a choice. He's had to defend solid talent on other teams because the Wolves don't often play. I mean, they don't have that many plus wing defenders. I mean, Beasley's below average. Okogie and Culver are both good defenders, but they're so bad offensively and there's been injury issues. So Edwards he's been one of the few constants for the Timberwolves this year in that he's actually available and on the court. And he's had some tough defensive assignments to this point in the season. And Charlotte has often played Ball with Devontae Graham. And so they've had the ability to hide him on the not the primary ball handler for opposing teams. And that's been to his benefit. All the other metrics, I mean, win shares are just not even close. Ball's positive on both ends of the court and his win shares per 48 are 0.121, which is above a starter level, below an all-star level, but above a starter level. Whereas Edwards actually has a negative win shares per 48, which is not really, it's really not good. I often compare him to Anthony Edwards to Andrew Wiggins early in his career. And I'd like to make those comparisons here in a second, but Wiggins was never a negative win shares guy. Zach LaVine flirted with it early in his career and really was miscast as a point guard at times by Sam Mitchell, the interim coach in LaVine's rookie year. But, I mean, Wiggins' rookie year, his win shares per 48 were a positive 0.034, which is still not good. It's not starting caliber, but it's a lot better. I mean, it's the flip, the inverse of the negative 0.037 that Edwards has put up. And actually, if you want to compare the half rookie season of Edwards so far to Wiggins' rookie year, the biggest differences are Wiggins got to the free throw line a ton. The free throw rate and three-point attempt rate are flipped. Edwards' three-point attempt rate is almost 42%. So almost 42% of Edwards' shot attempts are threes. And Wiggins was only at 11% as a rookie. Wiggins' free throw rate was 0.41, meaning for every field goal he attempted 0.41 free throws, which is really good. Edwards to this point is a 0.165. Rebounding is about the only place that Edwards rebounded and assists, I guess he had a slight edge, but Wiggins' steal rate, block rate was better. His usage rate was lower and turnover rate was a little higher. So that's another advantage Edwards. Edwards doesn't turn the ball over a lot because he's looking to score and he's had some issues more recently, but early in the season, Edwards really wasn't turning the ball over much at all. But at any rate, the comparison here between Edwards and LaMelo Ball really isn't close, and I don't think anyone would argue that it is. But I think it's fair to evaluate the Wolves draft, looking back on it at this point, which is, this is crazy because we're not even 5 months after the draft. But the question marks surrounding could the Wolves play LaMelo Ball with D'Angelo Russell, I mean, we're likely to never know the answer to that, but LaMelo Ball's playing just fine with Devontae Graham, and just fine is certainly underselling it. He's playing just fine with the Hornets in a similar role to what he would have in Minnesota with D'Angelo Russell, and especially knowing what we know now about Russell's lack of playing time early this year because of injuries or lack of ability to stay on the court is a better way to say that. Ball could be running the show in Minnesota and, it would look different with an injured Karl-Anthony Towns, I guess, but something tells me there'd be a lot more hope about a Ball Towns pairing right now, even with Russell out versus what we've seen from Anthony Edwards in terms of peer production. Now it's completely also, it's fair to also say that Anthony Edwards has been impressive of late, has a great future, has a just an unbelievable amount of talent. He's still, there's three or four plays a game where it's just, there was that play in transition against Phoenix where he just hit the Jets at about just past the timeline at midcourt and beat like three Suns players to the basket. It was literally like he hit a turbo button in Madden like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when it was extra unrealistic when you hit a turbo button, and just booked it to the rim and scored, and just unbelievable. I mean, these displays of athleticism, obviously the dunk that he had over Watanabe a couple weeks ago, all of those things are true, and he still could have an extremely, he still does have an extremely high ceiling. But LaMelo Ball is already one of the better point guards in the league. He just is. And there's no two ways about that. And it's very clear that he could have played in Minnesota and played with D'Angelo Russell, and certainly been a great fit with Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know if he's always going to shoot 36-ish to 37% from three. That may come back down to earth a little bit. But the fact that his shot selection has been as good as it has been, and he's made open jumpers when he's had the opportunity, has to be encouraging if you're a Hornets fan and a fan of basketball and you want to see Ball succeed. So I think all of that is inescapably true. That Ball has been fantastic. Edwards has certainly had flashes, but has struggled. And now we get to see them go head-to-head for the second and final time this season with Wolves Hornets. One last note on Ball Edwards. I had mentioned the B-Ball Index numbers. And again, if you're not familiar with B-Ball Index, it's a fantastic site. They have innovative data tools, 500-plus player profiles. They're all available for only $5 a month or $50 a year at bball-index.com. That's bball-index.com. But their numbers are, the profiles they put together are really fantastic. So each profile's got really anything you could ever want or need. It's got all of their top talent areas where they're playing most on the floor, their play types, highlighted stats based on their top strengths. It's got their percentiles across the league versus league average in different categories, perimeter shooting numbers, everything from, you know, obviously catch and shoot threes, pull up threes, et cetera, their percentile, and then a grade based on their percentile. So the thing that stuck out the most to me with LaMelo Ball was his finishing. In terms of his shots at the rim, I was surprised to see that his contact finish rate is 90th percentile. That's an A-minus grade. And that's defined by the percentage of shooting fouls where the shot attempt was also made. So on 34.2% of shots that Ball's taken at the rim that he's been fouled on, he's converted the shot, the field goal. Also, his shot difficulty at the rim is 89th percentile, which is also an A-minus according to B-Ball Index. His getting to the rim rating is a 91st percentile. That's an A. So all of those things surprised me a little bit with Ball. I mean, he was known more. We knew that he had touch. We knew that he had length and athleticism, but he was more of a floater pull-up guy than he was necessarily getting into the paint. And people worried about his build and whether or not he was going to be able to withstand the pounding of an NBA season. And to this point, he certainly has. His shooting numbers also stand out, which we already knew. He's basically a B grade on everything shooting related in terms of three-pointers. Three-point percentage, 69th percentile, it's a B grade. Catch and shoot threes, a B grade, 70th percentile. Total three-point gravity, which is basically the amount of attention that a player commands when they're shooting threes. And that's also a 67th percentile, which is actually a B on this scale. So all those numbers are basically between a B and an A minus. And it tells the story of Ball being really slightly above league average in terms of being a perimeter shooter and well above league average when it comes to getting to the rim, getting into the paint and scoring. Contrast that to Anthony Edwards Edwards' numbers here and his percentiles are not good. The best thing that we can say about Edwards' numbers to this point are obviously his getting to the rim and the way he finishes difficult shots at the rim, but his contact finish rate is not good. It's 46th percentile. That's a C, 20.5%, which again is the percentage of shooting fouls where the shot attempt was also made. So when he is being fouled, he's not converting and getting and ones. The shot difficulty at the rim, he's an A minus, 87th percentile. Overall finishing talent, 88%, A minus. And that basically evaluates a player's ability to get to the rim and then score once they're there. Also, getting to the rim, unassisted scoring in the paint, all those things are good. otherwise, the numbers are pretty much across the board bad offensively for Anthony Edwards. He's been good in isolation. We know that. That's not a surprise. His total ISO impact is 94th percentile. His effective field goal percentage in isolation situations is 60.5%. That's 91st percentile, also an A. His three-point shooting is C's and D's across the board. Pull-up percentage on threes, catch and shoot. All of those are between the 43rd and 54th percentile, which is C's and C minuses. The only good thing he's done on the perimeter is the gravity of his three-point attempts, which is the attention that he's drawing from the defense, and those are B's and B pluses, so that's all good. You go down to what he's done in terms of off-ball movement. That's mostly a combination of C's and F's. Hasn't been great moving without the ball. We know that. And then the last thing I want to point out is look at some of these overall metrics that are pulled from various places. So these aren't all proprietary. There is one proprietary metric pulled into this collection by B-Ball Index, and that's the LeBron metric. It's a proprietary thing that they put together. It's an acronym that stands for Luck Adjusted Player Estimate Using a Box Prior Regularized On-Off. So the definition that they give for that is LeBron, the metric LeBron evaluates a player's contributions using the box score and advanced on-off calculations for a holistic evaluation of player impact per 100 possessions on the court. So they're trying to remove some of the luck, but otherwise that's what the definition is. Across the board, their metric, ESPN's Real Plus Minus, which is pulled into here, 538's Raptor, and then Box Plus Minus, which is a basketball reference metric. It's all F's and D's for Anthony Edwards. I mean, he's second percentile in LeBron. That's an F, obviously. Sixth percentile in Real Plus Minus overall. 15th percentile in Raptor. 13th percentile in Box Plus Minus over at Basketball Reference. All F's for those. Offensively, he's mostly at D's. Defensively, he's F's. Works out to be an F. So just no matter how you slice it, the metrics hate Anthony Edwards this year so far, and we knew that that was going to be the case. LaMelo Ball on the flip side, those metrics love LaMelo Ball. He's a 67th percentile B in LeBron overall, an A in Real Plus Minus, 92nd percentile, and 99th percentile offensively, by the way, a B in Raptor, 71st percentile, and then lastly in Box Plus Minus, he's an A, a 92nd percentile. So all B's and A's for him, all D's and F's for Anthony Edwards. Again, doesn't speak to what happens next in their respective careers, but the skills that LaMelo Ball has in terms of court vision, feel, scoring touch, all the from the perimeter as well, all those things together, passing ability. Edwards has the athleticism, and he's got the want to, he's got the personality, he's got the burst, all those things. You know, he's got a good looking jump shot, good mechanics. Those things all matter, and they can all, you know, there's just a little more that has to happen for it all to come together for him than it does for LaMelo Ball at this point, who's already a very good guard in this league. I'm going to go ahead and hold off on the Karl-Anthony Towns numbers. We'll do that show later this week and dive into his numbers at B-Ball Index because it is interesting. Again, there is some confirmation bias here. We knew he was good in the post. We know he's obviously great in the pick and roll. He's the Wolves' best all-around player. You know, all those things we know. But still interesting to dive into what some of the numbers say. So let's go ahead and wait till after Wednesday's game, get a few more numbers after Wolves Hornets and talk about that later this week as we have this long hiatus in between games. So we'll dive a bit more into the B-Ball Index numbers then. Again, a reminder, B-Ball Index is fantastic. You can find them at bball-index.com. Their innovative data tools and 500 plus player profiles are available for only $5 a month or $50 a year. Again, that's bball-index.com. Next up, I want to talk Wolves Hornets and preview that matchup as well as what happened the last time that these two teams faced off. Before we get into that, though, let's talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. I promise. I guarantee it. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. My routine every day now is I have at least one Built Bar, usually on the way home from work. Sometimes I have one in the morning between breakfast and lunch. And occasionally we'll do it as a meal replacement. It's that good. I'm in this rhythm now where I'm buying a box every couple of weeks and then my wife and I go through them really quickly. I accidentally left one in my car and it melted. So I put it in the freezer and it's a new hack. They're delicious no matter how you eat them, but you put them in the freezer or the fridge and then enjoy them. And they are fantastic. The mint brownie, especially if you put it in the freezer for a little bit. Cherry Barcia, same thing. The new coconut brownie, I think it's dark chocolate coconut brownie chunk is fantastic. No matter how you eat it, I had one in the fridge and then ate it today and it was amazing. But there's 18 flavors. Six of them are brand new, including caramel brownie. Cherry Barcia is also a new one. The aforementioned Cherry Barcia, which is one of my favorites. And then Mint Brownie is one of the original flavors. Every single bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They're all soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious. If you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight, you can still indulge in a delicious treat that's low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high in fiber. Perfect for the keto diet. You can go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Hey, let's also talk about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball is right around the corner. BetOnline even offers awards coverage, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props, and almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, now I want to talk Wolves Hornets. First, though, a reminder that March Madness is only a few weeks away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. You can get a head start on this year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has released his Big Board 2.0 with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. Okay, now Wolves Hornets. So the first time these two teams matched up, It was not a good night for the Timberwolves. You could say that about most nights, really this season, and who am I kidding, the last couple of decades. But this game specifically, Wolves Hornets, was back almost 3 weeks ago, just prior to Valentine's Day. The Wolves ended up losing by six, and it was a game that, I mean, Minnesota was up early. They were down, I think, one at halftime. It was a close game really throughout. But the Hornets just kind of held the Wolves a little bit at arm's length and pulled away late. This was relatively late in Saunders' tenure as head coach. It was post D'Angelo Russell injury, so Russell did not play. The Wolves started Ricky Rubio, Josh Okogie, Anthony Edwards, Malik Beasley, and Karl-Anthony Towns. And otherwise, the rotation is pretty similar to what it is now. I mean, there was no Jake Layman in the rotation. Hernan Gomez didn't play. This was right when he was in the process of returning from his COVID absence. Jared Vanderbilt came off the bench and only played 7 minutes. So Okogie was starting at the four back at this point. Jaden McDaniels also coming off the bench. And the Hornets got 41 points out of nowhere from Terry Rozier. 41 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, made 6 threes in all 9 of his free throw attempts in this game for Rozier. They did get 20 points, 11 rebounds with 4 assists and 3 steals from LaMelo Ball. Ball didn't really stick out in this game. This was just a weird, like, Rozier domination game. Cody Zeller had 17 and 8 as well. And the Wolves just couldn't slow down Rozier. And he was good, but he just wasn't missing. I mean, they were, you know, early in the game, he was making everything. The Wolves stuck Josh Okogie on him. He was still making everything, contested shots and everything in the second half, especially. And it was rough. Actually, I think it was the third quarter. Rozier had 10 points in the third quarter. And then as the Hornets put the game away, he had 16 in the fourth on 5 of 6 shooting, including 2 of 3 outside the arc. That was Rozier in the fourth quarter of this game. The Wolves relied heavily on Malik Beasley. He had 31, 5 rebounds, 12 of 21 shooting, made 7 threes. Towns had 25 and 8, made 5 threes in this game. Those were the two offensive stars for the Wolves. Edwards was fine. He had 21 points, but it took him 21 shots to get there. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers for Edwards. So a decent game, but relatively inefficient is kind of the norm for him at this point. The Wolves, what they have to do against the Hornets, and the Hornets have been really good since then. At the time, they were 13 and 14 coming into the game. They're 16 and 18 now, so they played roughly 500 ball since then. The Hornets still aren't a good defensive team, and you can score on them. The problem is the Wolves' offense hasn't been good all year, and now you're Don Russell and Beasley. You're trying to integrate some new offense with a really weird rotation that Finch is still playing with. So you can't really score on much. You can't really count on there being much offense. The problem is that the Hornets are a really an above average offensive team. I mean, they're 16th in offensive rating, but they're only getting better. And they're also eighth in the NBA in 3-point percentage. So they're more than happy to shoot it from deep throughout the game. You know, Ball, we already talked about, is 37% from deep. Rozier's actually 43.6% from deep this year. Gordon Hayward's 42%. Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, who went off the other night. All those guys are shooting threes at well above average, well above league average. They are a little bit banged up. They had three key players miss the Hornets game on Monday. Devontae Graham, Gordon Hayward, Cody Zeller all missed Monday's game. And they've all been banged up to some extent this year. Graham's only played in 25 games. Zeller's only played in 18 games so far this season. So as of recording this late on Tuesday, we don't know exactly who's going to be available, but that would obviously make a big difference in this game if the Hornets were to not have Zeller or Graham or both. I mentioned the Hornets had played roughly 500 balls since the last time the Wolves saw them. They've actually alternated wins and losses the entire time. They've beaten Golden State, Phoenix, and Sacramento. They've lost to San Antonio, Utah, Golden State, and Portland. So really no shame in any of those losses. You know, San Antonio and Golden State aren't great, but it's okay to lose to them. Portland's got it back together. You know, beating the Suns is impressive. And beating the Kings is less impressive, but still the Hornets are an up and coming team. They're likely to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and they have LaMelo Ball and the Timberwolves don't. So this game should be a ton of fun to watch. This is a team that Towns should play well against. As long as Zeller doesn't drop another 17-8 against the Wolves, they should win that front court battle. Naz Reid is playing great of late. And that'll be where the Wolves need to make up ground with no D'Angelo Russell and McLaughlin and Rubio both kind of having shaky games the last few times out. The Wolves need to rely heavily on Karl-Anthony Towns in this game, even more so than they typically do, and hopefully can knock down enough threes around him that when he's doubled, he can swing the ball out to the perimeter and the Wolves can knock down some open shots and hang around in this game. All right, as mentioned, Wednesday's game is the last game of the first half of the season, and then an eight-day break. The next game isn't until Thursday, March 11th. The Timberwolves will be in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans coming out of the All-Star break. And in between now and then, we'll have a show on Thursday. That'll be Wednesday's post-game podcast. Then we'll have a show Friday. We'll dive some more into those B-ball index numbers that I referenced and talked a little, mostly about Edwards and Ball earlier. So that'll be Friday's show. And then next week, we'll start to talk more trade deadline. On Monday, of course, we'll talk a little bit about what goes down on All-Star Sunday. But then we'll get into some trade talk and then look ahead to the second half of the season as we move ahead. Otherwise, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.